Because the next 2 weeks we're going to talk about grace. Now it's the next 3 weeks, because I only got to the very first part of it in last service, partly due because of our announcements took a long time, but that was worth it, wasn't it? That was worth it. Oh my, that was worth it. It kind of gives you a flavor of what we're about. We have some real actors in this church. Now, I'm not talking about drama. I'm talking about people who can act and play roles. And you'll see that when we do our Christmas play. And we're looking forward to that this year. We didn't have one last year. Having one this year, looking forward to that. We use it as an outreach also. So we're going to talk about grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Grace. That's more than a person's name. That's more than something that's amazing, and it is amazing. But we're going to talk about grace. And this is part of our Q&A thing that we're doing. We're wrapping it up. I have actually thought about having you continue to turn in questions so that we can build series around your concerns for next year. I want to be answering the questions that you have. There's a lot of places you go, they're answering questions that no one's asking. And I want what we teach from this stage and everything that we do to be relevant to your life, to make a difference in your everyday life. It's not about just preaching, it's learning how to live life. And I want our messages to be catered towards learning to live everyday life. If what we say on Sunday has no bearing on your Monday, then I wonder if maybe we're not saying the wrong things. So anyway, we're going to talk about grace. We've had three questions that we're going to answer. Number one, and there's a couple of people that asked this question. And this is not really one that I like dealing with. We are not a denominational church. In fact, let me just do a little something here. How many of you, let's start with my favorite, Methodist, because that's what I was. How many of you were raised Methodist? Let's see your hand. Look around and look at these Methodists. Glory to God. How many were raised, you ready for this one? Baptist. Let's see them. Oh, my goodness. Baptist. Church of Christ. Woo, look at them, Church of Christ. How about Catholic? Got a few Catholics. Glory. We love Catholics. What about Pentecostal of some kind? Assembly of God, Pentecostal, that background. Okay, there's several of those. What else? Lutheran. Any Lutherans? There's one Lutheran. Bless you. And Nazarene. There's a Nazarene or two. What else we got? Somebody holler out at me. What? Oh, Presbyterian. None. Episcopalians. Got a pistol packing Pagan back there. Heathen. That may be the biggest one. And you know what? I love that. You may still be a heathen. I love that. Because you're not going to be one for long. Because if you're coming, the Holy Spirit's going to grip your heart. But we have such a diversity of background, so you have a lot of different opinions about certain things. There's basically two streams in Christianity, and one is the Arminian, and the other one is the Calvinist, and they have been at war for hundreds of years. And this issue has been debated very eloquently on both sides back and forth. And in fact, there are great godly people on both sides of this issue. And that's the thing about, can you lose your salvation? Eternal security. And I've been around Christianity. I've been a Christian. I've been in church all my life. I'm 60. And I got saved when I was 19. So you can do the math. I've been a Christian 41 years. I've been around church all my life. I have been a Methodist. And I have been Assembly of God, and I have been non-denominational. I have never been of the Calvinist background, so I have not been privy to all that teaching. I have somewhat to the Arminian teaching, but I've studied a little bit about both of it. And let me tell you the concerns that I have, because I can't answer this question for you today. Okay? I'm going to be politically correct. No. But I want to share a perspective, because I really believe that both sides are closer to consensus than what you think. Because what we normally see from both sides is the extremes. And both sides have extremes. Okay? And I want to talk about that. And some of you are going to connect with these extremes, because some of you were raised in this kind of extreme. Here's the first extreme. Let's take the Arminian stream and the extreme on this. Okay? And that is that every time that you sin, you lose your salvation. That you could have been saved, sanctified, filled with the heavenly sweet Holy Ghost, but if you had one bad thought before you died, you would go to hell. Now, there's a lot of legalistic churches out there who teach along those lines. Let me say, I do not believe that that's correct. I believe that's terrible. Because let me tell you something, whether you realize it or not, you have sinned since you have become a Christian. Okay? So what they teach is that you're saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. You have a bad thought, you got to go get saved. You don't rededicate, you get saved. So you get born again, 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 again. That's extreme Arminianism. It is very discouraging, because honestly, we all have struggles. You may not struggle with alcohol, because a lot of times when we think of sin, we think of alcohol or adultery or some what we call the biggies. Your thing may be your attitude. How many of you know that an attitude can be sinful? Judgmentalism. Looking down your self-righteous nose at other people who struggle. That's just as wrong as what we call the big sins. And both will kill. See, sin, it kills and steals and destroys. Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I want to say this, because here's the truth. We are saved by grace through faith. Period. Okay? The only time we coin phrases in Christianity that are not in the Bible: eternal security, once saved, always saved, losing salvation, none of those are in the Bible. The only time that it talks about falling from grace is, I believe it's in Galatians, where it talks about people who are trying to be justified by the law. He says, you're fallen from grace. No man has ever been justified by keeping the law. No man has ever been justified by doing good, because there are none of us that are good enough to be justified by doing good. We are saved by grace through faith alone. Period. Okay? That's it. In fact, did you know the law was not given to the world? It was given to people who were already in. The law was given to show them how to love God, how to get along with their fellow man, how to resolve conflict. If they commit a sin, how to make a sacrifice to get that thing forgiven. So it was not given to the world that was away from God. It was given to the covenant people. The law was never given for a means for men to be justified. And one of the biggest problems that we have, I don't know about other places, but in America, you ask people, are you a Christian? And they'll say, well, you know what? I go to church, or I keep the Ten Commandments. They probably can't tell you what they are. They might tell you what two or three of them is. Well, I don't know what they are, but I keep them. Really? You can't be saved by being a good person, keeping the commandments, because good is relative. I'm good compared to Jim Busby. But I'm not good compared to Mother Teresa. Now, I'm just picking at Jim. He knows better than that. No, that is not our standard. It's not anything to do with our good works. It is by grace. That's God's favor, God's choosing. And let me tell you when grace starts in your life, before you were born. It is the grace of God that prepares you for salvation. Grace sought you out. You did not seek grace. Grace sought you. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Now, I know I'm sounding Baptist, but I've never been one. Roberta? But I'm learning. No, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. But on this extreme over here, if you have a bad thought, then you're lost. How many of you know that's not true? It's not true. Thank God it's not true. And I know I have dealt with people who that has been drilled into them, and they constantly struggle with their relationship with God because they were taught wrong. Now I want to go to the other extreme. Okay? Among the Calvinists, and it's an extreme, it's not the norm, because I don't believe most Southern Baptists believe this. But there are some who believe that I prayed the prayer, I'm okay, now I can live like I want to. Do you know the Bible doesn't teach that either? It does not teach that. And I've heard people say, well, you know, somebody dies. And you know, when he was little, he prayed the prayer. He lived a life that was totally away from God. He did not honor God. He did not love God. He did not serve God. He had nothing to do with God. But because he prayed a prayer, he's going to heaven. Do not believe the Bible teaches that either. See, here's the thing about grace. Grace does not dumb down sin. Grace does not diminish sin. Grace is the vehicle that God uses to free us from sin. He doesn't free us from sin so that we can continue in sin. But here's how the two sides deal with that kind of person. The Arminian side says, well, you know what? He was saved, but now he's lost. And here's how the other side deals with it. He never was saved in the first place. Now, what's the truth? I'm just not the judge. I'm glad that my job, and I'm especially glad that your job, I would do better than you, okay? Because I would judge me real liberally, okay? We tend to judge ourselves real liberally by our intent and other people by their actions. I'm glad that my job and your job is not to be the judge. Really, I hope that it's not to be people's judge. I know it's not to be people's judge. That belongs to God. God looks at the heart. Can I say this about the Lord? He's not looking for ways to keep people out of the kingdom. He's looking for ways to put people into the kingdom. We have a tendency sometimes to want to take people out of the kingdom, and that's not our responsibility. So what do we need to do as Christians? Because there are kinds of graces. It's all the same grace, but the first part of grace has to do with the preparing grace. God is the one who sought you out. You didn't seek God out. God sent someone across your path with a message, and you heard the message of grace. And God prepared your heart to receive His grace. From the time before you were born till the time you die, there is grace for every man. And I ought to get an amen on that one. It's there for every man. And it works in your behalf far before you ever come to Christ. You would have never come to Christ without grace. You just wouldn't have done it. That's not your natural inclination. Your natural inclination is sin. But God don't want you to get what you deserve. He wants you to get what he wants to give you, and that's eternal life. So there is preparing grace, and then there is justifying grace. That's the grace that we receive by faith that redeems us from sin. It doesn't redeem us to sin, it redeems us from sin. Wrong teaching tells people, well, just pray the prayer and you'll be okay and you can just live like you want to. No. Bible doesn't teach that. It really doesn't. Because there's a grace that goes to work in your life. And the Bible says that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. So there is this sanctifying grace that goes to work in our lives. And you know what that is? It's God conforming you to the image of his Son. Now, a lot of people resist this grace. Because what they want to do is they want God's forgiveness, but they really don't want anything else to change in their lives. You know what? There's a problem with that attitude. There is a real problem with that attitude. And what God wants to do, he wants to begin the work of grace in your life, and he wants to continue that work of grace in your life. Even though you still fall short, you don't set out to fall short. I don't know about you. Can I admit something? Can I be transparent before you today? I still sin. Is anybody else in that same boat? The rest of you, you're perfect? Now, Gene, I know better than that. I'll teach you to text me in church. I'd call you out, brother. No, we have all sinned. So does that mean that we're out? No. But I don't sin just because I can sin. I don't want to sin. Something is wrong if I want to sin. Now I'm tempted and I have to deal with the flesh, and sometimes, you know, when we get mad, I want to slap somebody. I mean, you know, that's not right. Slapping folks is not right. Not even wanting to slap folks is not good. It's an attitude problem. But I didn't lose my salvation. I need grace. And there's this transforming grace that God wants to work in our life, but he has to have your permission to do it. And he's transforming you from glory to glory into the image of his Son, because what he wants is a glorious body of Christ, not a perfect body, because you're never going to be that. He wants a glorious body that's being transformed into the image of his Son. Why? So that we can reflect the glory of God to a dying world. He doesn't want us to be hypocritical. He don't want us to live under the cover of sin and thinking, you know what, I'm saved and it don't matter. No, that's not what it teaches. He don't want us to be hypocritical. He wants us to be real and genuine. He wants us to shine his glory. He doesn't have to have a perfect vessel, since he's already had one in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now you say, you're giving people a license to sin. No, I'm not. Grace should cause us to want to produce Christ-like fruit. When we understand grace, it is God's favor to a people who do not deserve favor. I am grateful today for God's grace in my life. So I don't talk about, and I don't, you know, I would never approach this subject about, can you lose your salvation? Well, that's not even a, like, you misplace it? You lost it somewhere? The Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that. It does teach us to receive grace, live in grace, and walk in grace. And can I tell you, that is a pretty secure place to live, is in grace. You're going to need it. It's your vehicle to become like Christ. Now, if you're playing games, you need to look at your heart. If you're a believer, you need to repent. But maybe you're not a believer. See, I'm in this dilemma with the Arminians and the Calvinists. Well, they lost it. No, they never had it. No, what? So what we need to do is judge ourselves and see where we're at. We need to see who we are. And we need to take care of those issues. Because, you know, honestly, I am not worried about going to hell. I've been a Christian for 41 years. I don't think about going to hell. I do feel bad when I miss it. And I run to God when I miss it. And I get His forgiveness. And I ask Him to continue a work of changing grace in my life so that I can be more like Christ. I don't want to be hypocritical. Now, I've been called that before. I've been called lots of things before. But honestly, that's not what I want to reflect. I want to reflect Him. And I believe that that is a secure place that a person can live in. I don't worry about whether I'm saved or not. You know why? Because I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. It was given to me as a gift. I received that gift. It changed my life. And today it still is changing my life. I can resist that. The Holy Spirit will deal with me as a child. But I'm glad today I'm saved. Can I tell you? Can you get out? I don't want out. Why would I want out? You give me one reason why I would want out. There is not one good reason. God is not looking to take it away from me. He is looking to perfect it in me. He's not looking to take something away from you. Can I tell you, since I'm got the microphone, I can. If God wanted to get you, He could. If you're here today and you're alive and breathing, He hadn't got you, has He? He hadn't got you yet. He hadn't struck you dead, struck you down. I don't believe God does that. If God wanted to get you, if God wanted to have the ground open up and you fall into hell screaming, and He could do that. That's not what He wants to do. He wants to be glorified in you. And that's grace. And that's God's grace. Next week, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. Next week, we're going to talk about, because here's the second of two questions. Why does it seem that some people do the right thing and bad things happen? And then the next week, we're going to talk about why do some people do the wrong things and still good things happen. Now, I'm going to give you the answer. Both is grace. And we're going to look at two people in the Old Testament, Joseph and Judah. Joseph and Judah. And we're going to look at those two lives, and we're going to see two sides of grace. Now, did you get anything out of that today? Now, did I answer the question? No. I'm not trying to convince you to fall on either side of that argument. I'm just trying to convince you that God loves you so much that He's not going to give up on you. And He's going to work in your life to the degree that you let Him, because He's got a plan and a purpose for you that He wants to fulfill. And why would we want to keep Him from doing that? Amen. We're going to pray. I don't know. One of the things that we do is we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to people's hearts. And I believe today that the Holy Spirit has said some some things to some people here today. Maybe it's you need to come to Christ. Maybe there's an issue that he wants to deal with in grace to get you over the hump that you keep stumbling over. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you're dealing with some issues. Whatever reason today that you need prayer, we're going to open this up and let you come. And we got others that'll come if we need them to. And we're going to pray for needs here today. This is not a place of judgment up here. This is not a place for condemnation, a place for counseling. This is a place for prayer. And for those who have needs in their life, and we believe that God is gracious and will meet our needs in Jesus' name. So as I pray, you feel free to come. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for grace. Thank you that we have earned nothing, but you have given us everything freely. Help us to see you in a new light today. Help us to see you as a loving, giving Father. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, you love us and you want to free us. Draw your people to you. I know that you have spoken to people here today. Minister to their needs today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?